Well, good morning.
It's
so good to see everybody on this Pentecost Sunday, and we want to welcome all of you for our time of worship today. We're so glad that you've taken time out of your schedules to be with us today as we can worship and share together and experience God's presence in a special way today. A little bit later on, we'll continue talking about how does the church make space for God and Christ's presence. But let's begin our service today by standing together and joining and singing our Gloria Patria. Let's join together there for our call to worship in our bulletin. Listen, can you hear the wind?
Come, Holy Spirit, come.
Look, can you see the dancing flames?
Come, Holy Spirit, come.
Do you see the visions? Can you dream the dreams?
Come, Holy Spirit, come.
Come, let Pentecost become real in our lives today. Well, let's join together there and turn in our hymn books, or you can join in on the PowerPoint. Hymn number 332, God of Grace and God of Glory this morning. We're doing the first and third verse this morning. Join together there for our opening prayer this morning. Almighty God, your Spirit came to the disciples hidden in an upper room in Jerusalem. May your Spirit burst into our lives today, encouraging and inspiring us to proclaim boldly the good news that Christ is present in our world, offering healing and hope to all people. Amen. You may be seated. Next hymn is 301. Really, it's a chorus. You can or you can join in on the PowerPoint this morning. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. We're going to sing it through twice this morning. Welcome in this place, O
omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place.
Oh, let's sing it again.
Holy Spirit,
I'm going to invite our kids to come down this morning. Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning? Looking so pretty in your dresses today? Yes. Yes. So, why do we have all these red balloons around here? You know why? Why do we have red balloons and we have the red pyramid up there on the pulpit today? Why is that? I'm going to teach you something then. Red. Why is it? Because it's Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday, some say it's the birth of the church, but we know for sure it's when God sent the Holy Spirit, or Christ sent the Holy Spirit to fill up his people in the church. And in the story that is often read, although we're not going to be reading that scripture today because we're dealing with another one, but the normal passage, when it talks about the Holy Spirit coming upon them in the upper room, it says, you could hear the wind blowing in there. And then all of a sudden, they saw, and I don't know if this was vision or what this was, because we're really not told, and it said it looked like there were little flames of fire above all those that were in the upper room that day. And it was a sign, both the wind and the fire, as a sign of God's Spirit in the Old Testament. And so when the Spirit came in, it filled them up so that they could be witnesses and share the love of Jesus with other people. And so when we celebrate Pentecost, we usually have red everywhere because it kind of, you might say, well, why isn't it orange? Well, maybe you could be making an argument there. But it's always been red because of the fire of the Spirit that burns in our hearts and gives us a passion to follow Jesus. And that's what Pentecost is all about. So Jesus taught us, when he was teaching his disciples, that God's Spirit, that is just like Jesus, would come and live in us. So that's why we can say Jesus lives in us. And we can live for Jesus. And that's why we celebrate Pentecost. And how those first disciples went out and started telling everybody about Jesus. And that's how the church grew and become what we think of today as Christianity, or being followers of Jesus. And because of that, we know that we're never alone. Someone is always with us. And that's Jesus, because of the Spirit living inside of us. Okay? All right, you guys can go on downstairs this morning. And we're going to go to our time of prayer. And so maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning as we go to prayer today. Yes. See, thank you for sharing that. Remember what I talked about last week? When Christ's presence is real in a place, people are touched. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about Christ's presence being real when we share communion together and what can happen there. So, wow, thank you for sharing that. Praise God. Thank God. Someone else. Somebody else. Yes. Yes, it is again. Yes. What? Hey, okay, so let me just say something about that before you go any further. So now I am able to go in the hospitals again. In fact, they're letting more than one or two in the hospital. When I went down to see Alice this week, there was five of us in the room, all family. And that was down at Kettering, down in Dayton. And so, yes. So if you're in the hospital, you got to let me know now. So, okay, enough of that. Go ahead. Who was that?
Rennie,
yeah. I can imagine. Sometimes after extensive back surgery, that can be something. Did you say it was Marlon?
Yeah.
Okay, I did write it down correctly. I wanted to make sure on that. Yeah, I don't know either. So we need to pray for Marlon for this brain tumor and for Trevor with the health issues there, that young teenager. And definitely needs God's touch. And for Rennie, who is recovering from back surgery but had a difficult week. Someone else. Yeah, way in the back.
Kevin, he's having a test for his nerves that runs down to his hands on Monday. And Wednesday, he's having a biopsy on his tongue.
Okay. Okay, so we want to remember Kevin in our prayers for tests and a biopsy coming up. I saw another hand. Yeah.
Judy Liu, she is in ICU. She's septic and has gallstones, and they can't operate because her health is not good enough, and it just doesn't look good.
Yeah, that's...
I also have a joy. I have another new baby yet.
Okay. Oh, wow. That's been a couple of them here lately, hasn't it? Oh, there you go. Well, we love hearing the praise reports and the good joys. So we want to remember Judy, right? Yeah, Judy, who has gallstones and septic and needs a touch from God there. Someone else, let's go over here. I was all over there. There you go. Ahead. I saw that on Facebook. Yes, congratulations. That's wonderful. Yes.
Yeah, our grandson has arrived back in the United States after being here for 3 years. And he's going to be going to China Seas for 7 months. He's a Marine and he flies drones. So he had to be on an aircraft carrier because the drones that he flies are small, like small jet planes. And they have to.
Oh, really?
So we arrived home on the USS San Diego last weekend, and in a couple weeks we're going to celebrate graduation, Christmas, Thanksgiving, whatever else.
Yes, they missed. That's great, though. And, you know, I remember when you first had us praying for him being deployed, and so thank God that he's made it back home.
Yeah,
yeah, that is very, and doing the drones too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're
that's broadening that a little bit for Marines. Yes, go ahead.
Sandy Williams got home from the hospital Friday for surgery and is very tired, but still needs a prayer for recovery on that. And then I like prayer for Jenny Kidder and her family as they love her dad yesterday.
Kidner?
Kidder.
Kidder. Okay. So we want to remember the Kidder family with the loss of a loved one, and then Sandy, who's recovering from surgery. Somebody else this morning. Yeah.
Just an update on Shelley Caulfield. She still does not have a knee, and they still don't know what they're going to do about it. So she's just sitting at home.
I can't imagine. Yeah, and Shelly's on our prayer concerns. We really need to pray that somehow, some way, they'll be able to come up with something, because she was allergic to the knee replacement that they put in and started having a reaction on the operating table after they got it in. And so, yes, there's lots of them there. Sean Buesen, I had shared a little bit. Has not had his open heart surgery. Issues going on there. I don't understand everything that's happening with that. We need to pray for some favor there and for that to all get worked out. I do not understand, when it's clear and there's blockages, why an insurance company can deny somebody having an open heart surgery. I do not understand that at all. So we need to pray for that. Alyssa with the breast cancer, we want to continue remembering her. We want to continue remembering Rita and Junior, and for Bruce, Jody's dad, who's going in for another treatment this coming week. And then the following week after that, I think I had shared last Sunday, then he will be having another PET scan. And we're praying and believing for some good results there because of that. And then continue prayers for Amy and for Jake and for God's touch there. Anybody else this morning? Yeah.
Yeah, our youngest son, Dennis, turned 51 in April and had a massive heart attack Friday night. 100% blockage. The phenomenal thing is, Christian Kirk got him over to the hospital, and 39 minutes after he arrived, they had a stent in him.
Yeah, yeah.
39 minutes.
Yeah, and that's wonderful.
Sad thing you hear about Upper Valley. Now they got that heart thing up there, and that doctor did.
And thank God. Yeah, because when I first talked to Rhea about that, I was like, well, didn't they send him down to Miami Valley? I didn't even realize that they got that all in. So
they took him to Kettering. They would have transferred him to Dayton, and he probably, good chance he wouldn't have made it.
Yeah, especially with 100% blockage.
Critical time.
Yeah, thank God for that. Thank God for that. So we want to remember Dennis as he's recovering. I did have him on there, but thank you for going ahead and sharing that. Anybody else this morning? So several to pray for this morning, and as we go to prayer and as she plays, give you a chance to pray for some of those needs or names that come to your mind, and then I'll come and close us out. Lord, as we've gathered together today on this Pentecost Sunday, we are thankful for the promise that you have given us, that where two or three gather together in your name, that you are here in our midst with us. And as we've been talking about that, and we're so grateful and thankful today, we're thankful for the joys that we've heard today and your touch and your grace in people's lives. And we rejoice and thank you for that, and ask that you will continue to show your presence in our midst in different ways, Lord, that lets us know that you are real and that you care and that you see our world that is hurting and in need of your presence and grace and love. And so we're so thankful for that today. And Lord, thank you for sending your Spirit that empowers us to be the people and remain faithful, even though our lives are not perfect and we have faults and failures and we miss your will at times, but you still work through your Spirit in our lives to help us to continue on and to be faithful and trusting and believing in you. And Lord, we lift up those today that have been mentioned that need your grace. Lord, we pray for Sandy today, who's recovering from surgery. We pray for Judy today, who's septic and is battling the gallstones and needs a real miracle today, God. Lord, we pray for Kevin, who's going in for these tests and this biopsy, Lord. We're just asking for your grace and healing touch and a good report there. Lord, we're praying for Rennie, Lord, as she is recovering from back surgery, God, your grace and touch there. For Trevor, that continues to need your healing touch today. And Lord, for Marlon today, God, who needs a miracle, touching that brain tumor today, God, as only you can do. Give the doctors wisdom and guidance and all of that. Thank you, Lord, for being with Dennis in that critical situation, Lord, and that the doctors were able to minister. We pray your continued healing touch there and recovery. We lift up Sean, God, Lord, where there's this battle going on, Lord, we pray that you will give favor and work that all out so that he can get the surgery that he needs. For Alyssa, Lord, and Bruce, Lord, as they're battling their cancers and with treatments, God, asking for your continued grace and strength and healing touch. And Lord, we especially pray for a good report that comes up here in a couple weeks for Bruce, Lord. And Lord, we continue to lift up Jake, Lord, and Amy, God, your healing touch. Lord, we ask that somehow you'll make a way for Shelly, God. I can't imagine what she is feeling and everything that's going on there. And somehow they'll be able to get that taken care of. And Lord, we pray for Junior and Rita. We lift them up and our other shut-ins, Lord, that you will continue to be with them and give them your strength and grace. We pray for the Kidder family, Lord, with the loss of this loved one, God. We just pray for your peace and comfort today for the family and loved ones today. And Lord, we continue to lift up our first responders, our medical personnel, the staff and school as they're finishing up the school year. We think about our military personnel and those overseas and around the world, God, that you will continue to be with them and give them your grace and strength. And Lord, we just ask your blessing upon the rest of this time of our service, Lord, as we share together in the word in just a moment, and we share together at the table today where your grace is present and your touch is present and your healing is present and all those other aspects, Lord, your forgiveness is present, Lord, that we might receive of you today. And send us forth to be your servants in this world, to be a blessing to others. And we thank you for all of these things this morning as we ask it all in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to and grant us thy peace. Amen. Thank you for joining with us in prayer today. And thank you so much for your faithful giving through all of this. Remember, today and next Sunday, they'll be the last two times. The first Sunday in June, we're going back to normal with our normal passing of the plates and everything will be going on. And also, if you want to talk to Carrie, because she's kind of heading up with the deacons and deaconesses as we go back to normal communion. If you're one of the deacons or deaconesses and you want to check with her about helping about preparing communion before the services, you can talk with her about that after church today or next Sunday. But thank you so much. So let's give thanks to the Lord and then we'll join together for our prayer of dedication. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's join together there. Empowering God, we ask for your Spirit to magnify and multiply our tangible gifts to further your kingdom work here and around the world. Amen. Amen. Well, our scripture reading this morning is coming from a couple different passages this morning. You'll be able to follow along on the PowerPoint this morning. First of all, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 22, and we're going to be looking at the first or the latter part of verse 13 through 20. And then we're going to jump down to verses 24 through 30. And then we're going to go to Luke chapter 24 to a very interesting story, one of my favorites on the road to Damascus. And we're going to be looking at verses 28 through 32. So let's read those this morning. Luke chapter 22, let's begin there. They prepared the Passover meal. When the time came, Jesus took his place at the table, and the apostles joined him. He said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. I tell you, I won't eat it again until it is fulfilled in God's kingdom." After taking a cup and giving thanks, he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. I tell you, from now on, I won't drink from the fruit of the vine until God's kingdom has come." After taking the bread and giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after the meal and said, "This cup is the new covenant by my blood, which is poured out for you." An argument broke out among the disciples over which of them should be regarded as the greatest. But Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles rule over their subjects, and those in authority over them are called friends of the people. But that's not the way it will be with you. Instead, the greatest among you will become a person of lower status, and the leader like a servant. So which one is greater, the one seated at the table or the one who serves at the table? Isn't it the one who is seated at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are the ones who have continued with me in my trials, and I confer royal power on you just as my Father granted royal power to me. Thus you will eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones overseeing the 12 tribes of Israel." When they came to Emmaus, Jesus acted as if he was going ahead. But they urged him, saying, "Stay with us. It's nearly evening and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And after he took his seat at the table with them, he took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he disappeared from their sight. And they said to each other, "Weren't our hearts on fire when he spoke to us along the road and he explained the scriptures for us?" That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart will... I forgot my words there. Meditations of our hearts and... Okay, God bless you. Let's go on. I don't know why. I just went blank. You could have if you remembered the words, because I say them every Sunday. It happens. Well, let me share something with you this morning. Sister Mary Ann was making her rounds visiting homebound patients one afternoon when she ran out of gas in her car. As luck would have it, there was a gasoline station only a block away. She walked to the station to borrow a gas can and buy some gas. The attendant told her that the only gas can he owned, he just loaned out, and it was never returned. So Sister Mary Ann walked back to her car to see if she had something to use to put gas in. As luck would have it, she spotted a bedpan in the vehicle. She carried the bedpan back to the station, filled it with gas, and then carried the bedpan full of gas and carefully put it into her car. As she was pouring gas into her vehicle, two Baptist preachers who were walking by across the street saw what was going on. One of them turned to the other and said, "If that thing runs, I'm turning Catholic." There you go this morning. I want to talk to you this morning about the church as a table community. Table community. Several years ago, and it may have been longer than that, you know, I say several years and Jody's like, "You know that was 5 or 6 years ago, don't you?" And so maybe it was 5 or 6 years ago when one time Jody and I, and I think Chase was with us, we were going out to eat. And we were sitting there eating and talking and everything. And all of a sudden, I began to notice the couples or families that were sitting around us were all on their cell phones and none of them were talking to each other. And Jody and I talked about that for a little bit. And I think we kind of said, we're never going to do that. And for the most part, we've never done that. Although during COVID, when you had to go into restaurants and they quit giving you menus and you would take your phone and scan it on to that little, whatever that thing's called. I heard the high schoolers talk about it the other day, what it was called, the little square that you can scan and it brings up the menu and everything. That might have changed things a little bit, but that's here and there. But I was reading this week, and this is what made me think about that, that there are some restaurants in some towns where they are banning people from being on their cell phones while they're together in a restaurant. And the owners are arguing this, that are doing this, that such practices are destroying people's abilities and families' abilities to be present with each other at that meal. They say this: customers can't be present long enough to even look at the menu and order food. I was shocked when I heard that part. And you know what? I've been asking the question, how does the church make room or space for God and Christ present? But after thinking about that, I want to ask this question, especially in connection with communion. Maybe I should be asking, how do we make ourselves present for Christ's presence when we gather together? Maybe that's the better way to think of it this morning. And my answer is by being a table community. So let's look at this morning. I'm going to look at it in two ways. First of all, the first part is kind of a teaching thing, but I think it'll help you to see the significance of what's being conveyed in Scripture about the Lord's Supper. So let's begin here by talking about the table has names for a reason, or the names of the table, I guess you could say there, I think is what it says in the sermon outline there. First of all, I want you to see this. And so if you notice, and let me say something here before I begin that. In Scripture, the Lord's Supper has various names that are expressed, or titles that are expressed to convey it. And that's what I want us to look at a little bit here and what they signify. First of all, we're familiar with the most common, the Lord's Supper. And the Lord's Supper, when it's used in Scripture, conveys the idea of bringing into the present what the Lord has already done for us, if I could say it that way. We know that in Scripture, the practice was inaugurated by Christ himself at his Last Supper with his disciples, which, as we read from Luke today, was a Passover meal. They were celebrating Passover, which was the liberating of God's people out of Egypt. And he did that, as we are told in Scripture over and over again, that it was on the night before he was handed over to the guards, the temple guards, who carried or led him in to be tried before the Sanhedrin and the other religious leaders. But here's what I want you to see out of this, and why this is so important, and why it is called the Lord's Supper. Think about what supper means to you. Now, I know there's that debate. Is it supper or is it dinner? Now, in our house growing up, we always called it supper. But a lot of, in fact, the first time I said that, somebody goes, "Are you talking about dinner?" No, I'm talking about supper. You know, because I didn't know any better. But here's the thing, and you know, thinking about that, this is what I want you to see and why I think this is important. Because they were gathered around. If you remember our reading, Jesus took his spot kind of at the head of the table, and then all of the rest of them kind of sat around, like it would have been like this in a circle, and they would have sat together. And they weren't sitting on chairs. They were on pillows, like good Middle Easterns would, and they would have been leaning kind of on their side, kind of like this, and they would have been conversing, and then they would sit up on the pillows and eat and share together. Here's what I want you to see. The sharing at the table makes present what Christ has done for you and I. Do this in remembrance of me. When we come to the table and share together, we are remembering. That's something that we often hear in the church that gets stressed. What Christ has done for us through his death and resurrection. That's probably the most familiar one. But there's another one that's found in Scripture, and this is called the Lord's table, or sometimes in some places, just the table, as we saw. And the Lord's table reminds us we are a part of a great family. Okay, so what comes to your mind when you think of a table? Everybody sitting down and eating something? Yes, together. Usually when you're at the table, it's usually family that gets together and we all sit at the table and eat. Hopefully you still do that. I know that's becoming less and less common. But here's what I want you to see. When it's used in Scripture, it points to the love and the feasting and the fellowship that they're sharing with one another and with the Lord. And as we read in the second part of the reading this morning, Jesus said, "You will share it again with me one day in my kingdom, when I will share it with you again for the first time since that time back when he did it with his disciples." There's something significant, and Jesus seemed to imply that he longs for that day again when they can share together. This practice reminds me that we are a part of a great family. And not just any family, but God's family. And here's the thing I want you to see, where there is room enough for everyone. Several years ago, and I haven't even had a chance, I bought it because of I knew how important it was, but I haven't had a chance to read it, by a pastor who wrote a book about the table. And he was saying that the church needs to get back to the table mentality, because we've kind of excluded ourselves and separated ourselves from everybody else. And his whole argument from the whole thing, from Jesus's teachings and everything he sees in Scripture, is that we are to keep inviting people to be a part of the table. We're never to exclude others. We're always to welcome somebody else. In other words, that old saying, there's always room for one more around the table. And I've experienced that from people that I've known that says, come on, Jason, make yourself, come on, join us at the table and eat with us. You know, you don't have to go home, you know. How many times has people done, let me tell you, some of those times when they've done that, well, the majority of the times, those have been some good meals, I can tell you that. There's always one more room. There's always room in God's family. We don't want to be excluding people. We want to be including people. The next thing, which I refer to most often, is communion. And communion invites us to be present with Christ. Going back up to what I was saying about being on our cell phones, not being present with one another, you know, what communion emphasizes that we share something in common with the Lord and with one another, and how we need to be present with and for the Lord and to one another. Now, we can look at this in a couple different ways, but you know what? I think when we are being present to the Lord, when the Lord is here, that's an act of faith. And if you look in the Gospels, when Jesus healed people and ministered to people, he ministered to people that were reaching out to him in faith. That's when we see God do things in our midst and touch people. I don't know if Tom was fully present or not. He can answer that question. But something was happening there when he received that touch from the Lord last Sunday. And the practice invites us to be present with the Lord so that we can receive of his grace and of his word. And so that, as our last scripture reading said, so that our hearts can burn and our eyes can be opened to the Lord who is in our midst. And then the other one there, which we see in the book of Acts a few places, is what is called the breaking of bread. The breaking of bread. And this reminds us to share with others. That's what that whole emphasis is in Scripture and in ancient society. The practice points to Christ breaking the bread and sharing it with his disciples. Do you know in the feeding of the 5,000 miracle? That's what Jesus did. He broke the bread and started sharing it, and the miracle took place in the midst of it. The practice reminds us that we should be a people that share with others what the Lord has given to us. If we've received forgiveness from the Lord, extend that forgiveness out to others. If we've received mercy from the Lord or from others, we need to extend mercy and grace to others who sometimes are not treating us very well and not treating us very mercifully at the time. But we extend that out because that's what it means to be a practicing table people. I didn't even include another big passage in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 11, where Paul talks about all of that. And about how we're to be a people that practice and continue to do that and extend that grace and love and forgiveness to others. So what is all this about? Those are the names and titles and things, and I conveyed what they mean. What is this all about? Well, this is all about cultivating Christ's presence. The table cultivates Christ's presence. And that's what its purpose is to be. That's why Jesus instituted it. We think of it as sacrament. We think of it, depending on what you grew up in, as an ordinance of the church, you know, or whatever. But it is one of those things that we are to continue on. Because if we were to read 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says, I'm passing on to you what the Lord taught to us. And that's how it goes. Two things I want you to see. First of all, the table helps us discern the Lord's presence. That part where it says their eyes were opened, that he was present with them, always jumps out at me every time I read that story about the road to Emmaus. Because the table is where we recognize and we receive forgiveness, healing, reconciliation, renewal, all these things. It's not necessarily the elements, but it is Christ who is present with us at the table. He's the one that does that work in our lives. And as we recognize his presence at work in our lives at the table, listen to me, it makes it easier for us to recognize his presence in our lives at other times. At times when things are not going well for us, when things are difficult, when we're struggling, and we stop and we quiet ourselves and we make ourselves present and say, Lord, I need you right now. I need you to be present with me like you are at the table when I share on Sundays. I need you to be present with me right now to help me go through this. I don't know how many times I've done that before. And so the table helps us to discern the Lord's presence in different situations. And then the table shapes us to be his presence in the world. This is what makes the table so revolutionary and makes us different than anything else as far as religions of the world. As we allow Christ's presence through the practice of the table to work in our hearts and lives. And one author, David Fitch, as I made reference to in the past, he says that the Lord reorders our lives in those situations. Then his presence can flow through us as we go out and we love and forgive and serve and live every day. Yes, the practice of the table opens space for Christ to come and manifest his reigning presence among us. But it also helps us to learn to be present with the Lord as we share together. Some of you in this place have told me as you left the service, and there's been a few of you that have been crying on the way out of the service, how God touched you during our communion service at the end because you were present and experienced the Lord's presence as you received of the bread and cup. I have experienced that too. And it just reminds us of this. Let's come to the table and encounter the living Christ who is present with us. And when we make ourselves present, we open our hearts to receive of him. Amen. Amen. Well, guess what? I'm going to invite us to do that this morning. We're going to share at the table this morning. And like always, we're going to share and come. The prayer a little bit often sometimes focuses on confession, but it's a little different today as I was kind of working through this and thinking about it this week, about what we've talked a little bit about together. So as we prepare our hearts to share together in just a moment, let us join together for our prayer this morning. Come, Holy Spirit, upon us and upon this sacred table, that this wafer may be for us the body of Christ, and that we who are his body may live in unity and at peace with you and all of your creation. Come, Holy Spirit, upon this fruit of the vine, that we may receive it, we may know the fullness of forgiveness and salvation, and bear witness to the faith which is ours in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Receive of that today. And when you go in and share of the elements in just a moment, let the Spirit work in your heart and let Christ be present as you are present today. Well, let's go ahead as we share together, and we're going to peel back our first layer and grab our wafer out of there. Maybe you've already done that. See here where we're at here. Thank you. So I can see where everybody's got it open. On the night in which they had gathered together, Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he gave thanks for it. And he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do it in remembrance of me." Let's eat together. And then let's shake it up a little bit and then peel it back. A little bit later on then, when they were gathered, Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink of it and do it in remembrance of me." Let's partake this morning. The Apostle Paul said, "As often as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes." Well, let's join together there. I'm going to invite you to stand. We're going to sing that chorus. We haven't sung it for a while, but I wanted to sing it. It's one of my favorites. We worship. We worship and adore you, bowing down before you. So let's stand this morning, and we're going to sing it through twice this morning. Join together for our benediction this morning. May the power of the Holy Spirit transform us with the healing fire that unifies the world.
We go out in faith and abiding love.
May the wind of God's Spirit and grace mark and empower us for Christ. Amen.